Today's episode is brought to you by Long Beach Comic Con. Long Beach Comic Con taking place Saturday, September 2nd, and Sunday, September 3rd, at 300 East Ocean Boulevard, Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Convention Center. Don't miss it. Lots of guests there in all forms and fashions, from celebrities to comic book writers, artists, cosplayers, you name it. Hundreds of vendors, food, family, fun for everybody. So don't miss it. Long Beach, California, this coming weekend. All right? Today's special guest is Ryan Perez. He is a filmmaker who I've known for many, many years. We actually filmed this episode during a hurricane. It was a Hurricane Hillary, and the power went out like three times. So the fact that this interview survived and is still something shows that where there is a will, there is a way. And yeah, I mean, seriously, like we got cut off so many times during this interview. It was gnarly, not just the weather, but the situations with the power outages and stuff. So that's a first for the show, that's for sure. But Ryan is working on a ton of things, but right now the big thing he has that came out is called Beyond the Cut, which is a really, really cool show on YouTube that he does, and we'll dive more deeper into that in this episode. Without further ado, my friend Ryan Perez.
All right, Ryan, it's great to have you on the show. There's literally a hurricane going on right now. For those listening, there's this thing, it's called Hurricane Hillary. It's going on here in Southern California right now. And so me and Ryan are a couple cities away from each other. But how actually is the weather over there where you're at? Did the wind pick up where you're at, or how is it over there right now?
Like right now, it's like super calm. But earlier, like for 4 seconds, it looked straight up like monsoon. And I was like, oh, crap. So I was like outside running to get everything together that was like falling out and blowing away, but I think I'm good now. It might be the eye of the storm, I'm not sure.
I've honestly never asked you this, and I've known you for such a long time, but what was like your influences in film, period? I've never even asked you that. Like, how did you get into everything? What really made you want to, you know, to create?
Originally, I was, you know, always doing skateboarding videos. I was always like intrigued by cameras and wanted to do videos, but I was never really into like the cinema or film kind of stuff. So like what got me into that was in high school, I got, you know, we were always filming skate videos, and we filmed like this Jackass type video in shop class. And I got in trouble for it. I got suspended for about 2 weeks because I posted it all over MySpace, brought a VHS to school with it on it, and we played it in the shop class. So after getting suspended for 2 weeks, my English teacher, who was like a drama club, was in charge of the drama club too, got a hold of me and wanted me to do videos for their drama club. So, like, yeah, that's how it kind of started. I started, like, getting used to reading scripts, and, like, we would film them, like, you know, cinematic style, and we'd play them in front of the auditorium in front of everybody. So that's kind of, like, what got me into that, like, interested in the cinema world, kind of.
In those early days, what did you start with? Do you remember your OG setup?
Yeah, my OG setup, let me see, it was one of those, like, little Walmart video cameras. Like, uh-huh. They still sell them now. They're like Android footage. I had one of those, and then what I started using, like when
it's
I
like
got
like the flip cameras with the
USB. They look like a camcorder. Like a camcorder, and they have like a flip out display, but they have like,
okay,
I don't know. They record, like, you'd get them the footage out via USB and stuff. Like, it was like one of those, but. What really like took me off, like I took off with, was like this little Sony Handycam. It was like a flat one, not a Handycam. It was like a flat Sony camera I got off QVC.
And, QVC, wow,
yeah, and I started with that. But I've had a lot of starting stuff, but that was my very first setup. That little Walmart camera.
Let's talk about Beyond the Cut. I watched the three episodes. I really like it, dude. It's super cool. Like, I'm gonna say this right off the bat. Actually, one of my favorite things about Beyond the Cut is your narration in the beginning on the third episode. They didn't have it, you know, so I was like, where's Ryan's voice, man? You sounded good, bro, you know.
Yeah, no, dude, I didn't think anyone was gonna notice that.
Yeah, I do.
Good. Okay, so yeah, good thing you said that, because I am bringing the narration back. That one, we were in a rush to edit. I forgot right now, I was like in in the middle of doing another project I'm on. So I hardly have time to edit side projects for anyone. So Beyond the Cut kind of took a back seat, right? Not really back seat. I'm still trying to get it. It's not like priority in the schedule right now. Kind of like obligated big time right now with this new thing I got going on with the city of San Diego.
Can you announce that San Diego project?
So that San Diego project, we got like a grant for it. And we're like in. Yeah, that's it. That we're doing that. We're in the planning process. We're pitching our campaigns, and we don't get approved for the funding for the project until October-ish. But yeah, right now we're probably not going to get done until May. That's our timeline. We have to finish filming the project in May, and I could say what it's about already. Like right now, my campaign is going to be on technology addiction.
Okay.
Documentary and social media challenge. It's got to be like campaign style, but that's what we're doing it on.
Which is a very real thing, dude.
Yeah, I had to be on a social issue. That was a thing. That was the catch. So
yeah, on Beyond the Cut, how did that come about? How did that even come about?
Beyond the Cut, I was with one of my old friends, Esteban, the guy who cuts hair in the show. We used to skate together, went to high school and everything. And, you know, we took two different paths in life, kind of. Like, I went toward, like, my filmmaking and everything. And he had a whole bunch of stuff going on. And for some reason, he got into barbering. Mm-hmm. So we hung out after a long time, you know, 15 years later. And we were just talking and everything. He showed me a video clip that he filmed in Spain. I think it was in Barcelona. I forgot where. He was cutting some guy's hair in the street. He just filmed it.
Interesting.
Man, this would be kind of cool if you had like audio equipment hooked up to you and stuff. You'd be interviewing the people while you're cutting them. Because I watch a lot of ASMR barber stuff. Everyone always like bags on me. Like, why do you watch ASMR stuff? Like, it's pretty cool. So we came up with that idea one night, and I told him, well, cool, let's film an episode next week. So we just randomly went around Slab City trying to find someone for our first episode. And that's how it kind of took off. Now we're starting to just go wherever we can. And it's really hard, like, approaching people in the street when you're trying to get interviewed.
That first episode was great, though. That man that you had on that first episode, he's basically the one that replaced Leonard Knight, right? Leonard, which I actually, he's a new caretaker. It's trippy because I remember having conversations with Leonard before he, like, not even too long before he passed. I remember meeting him, and he gave me like a Salvation Mountain puzzle, and he gave me like a little tour, and he was such a nice guy. And I had no idea who the new caretaker was until I saw that episode, you know, of yours. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for those listening that aren't aware, like, what Beyond the Cut is, you want to kind of break it down, just a little synopsis of like what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, basically Beyond the Cut is a series that we're doing for YouTube. And what we do is we go to a random location, try to find a person that best represents like the atmosphere or you know, the environment, and we'll just give them a haircut and interview them. Pretty much we try to get like their background, their life, interest, and it ends up being pretty interesting because there's a lot of other, someone pointed out to me once, there was a lot of other shows that focus on giving haircuts and interviewing people, but I think ours has like a different theme.
Yeah.
Like we really like approach a nomadic and style, like trying to get people's lifestyles and how they live and how they think. That's what we mostly focus on.
The guests that you've had, they've been through some stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, they're straight from like the streets in the area, you know what I mean? And like it's like, I think like your second episode was the homeless guy in Calexico, right?
Mm-hmm. John,
like, really interesting. So you hear just all these different stories that you just, it's like things like nobody's gonna like pull that person over aside and ask them questions like this. And like what I find even more interesting, if you want to get even more deeper, is like this is like this person's only interview, probably. Like, it may be the only, you know what I mean? He's never like had an interview. Like, now he's got like a platform to like give his life story. Like, you're like recording his biography, and like, he never thought he'd get a shot to share his biography. And like, you're like capturing that, you know what I mean? That's pretty deep. Like, there's a lot of substance there. You know what I mean? That's pretty special. And there's emotion there, you know? This seems like something like Vice would like reach out to you and be like, yo, we'll buy a series for a year or something from you. You know what I mean?
Oh, that'd be a dream if Vice were to. Too bad they're bankrupt.
Make your own Vice,
Yeah, I gotta make my own advice. Actually, I was trying to do that once, so it's kind of difficult.
It's difficult because it's a lot of work, but it's
Yeah.
not impossible,
No, yeah,
It's definitely not
definitely.
impossible, especially seeing like what you're making, you know what I mean? Right now, it's like, oh, totally doable. It's just like all the work. Imagine all the work that it took you to do like the series now. You're just like, well, there's a lot of work. Imagine trying to do that for like 10 shows. Like, you got to have staff and
No.
What are you guys shooting with? What camera are you using right now?
No, we are not. We shoot everything with the iPhone 13 Pro Max.
Amazing.
And
I'm
but
mind that.
the
They're
sound,
crazy now.
yeah, I love iPhones. I feel like they're in like competition with a lot of cinema cameras. I mean, mine even outdoes my current cinema camera.
What is your current cinema camera right now?
Current cinema camera is a Blackmagic Pocket Cinema. They're cool. I'm planning to update to the newer model soon. Mine's a 2.7K version, but I do want to get the 6K one.
You're right. Like the iPhone is legit. Like cinematic mode on it's incredible. It's wild, dude. I mean, if only that thing was around when we were skating back in the day early on, we would have got mad skate clips on that thing too, you know?
Yeah, and they're so light. Small, I can throw them on a little mount. Perfect.
Yeah. But you do add like some color correction though, right? Did you do some
Oh yeah,
color
I do tons. I do have an app. I forgot the name of it, but it does let you film. The usual cinematic mode already has the automatic color correction, but I do have an app that lets me film flat like a cinema camera, so I can color correct it myself.
One of the cool things growing up here in the valley is that like we've all had a piece of like film culture. We've all been involved with it in somehow or some way, whether people realize it or not, because it's been, we're submerged in it. You know what I mean? Like it affected us in different ways. Like there's been different productions that have shot like literally in front of your house, pretty much. You know what I mean? Or
Yeah,
like down the street.
I remember when I
Yeah.
snuck into Bad Batch with you guys that one time.
Yeah, you were there, bro. That was
I
such
got
a
kicked
treat.
out by security.
I
I
still trip
recall
out
this.
on how they even caught you sometimes, though. Like, how did they even? They seem like so like they weren't doing their job sometimes. So I was like, how did they even catch you?
I kept walking back and forth. I got cocky with it and thinking I could leave real quick and grab something and come back. And I happened to come back. Middle of when everybody went to lunch. So I was sneaking back in. I had my girlfriend with me. Like, hey, come on! Like security's not that bad on set. Like I was just walking by the security guard and waved to him with my skateboard. And she had like this R2D2 phone ringtone. It kept going off. I remember we were right there by the boombox, almost going to where you guys were for lunch. And Keanu Reeves was right there, like behind her. And I was like, oh my God, look who's right behind you. And as soon as he turned around, he's kind of reads, and he's like, starts walking away. Then that's when I get caught by the staff. They're like, excuse me, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm with the skaters. You can look up my name. Like, what's your name? I was going to say Vargas's name, but I was like, nah, I was just like, oh, Ryan Perez. And they're like, okay, you're not on the list. Get out of here. I'm like,
You should have just said my name,
I could
screw
have stayed with you guys
it,
all night.
dude.
Then I was like, oh, Ruben the
Yeah, you could just say my name, we just stuck around. Yeah, they had me
I
on that
probably would have.
set like a long time. I was on that set like for weeks. I actually filmed that whole thing where Keanu was talking on top of the boombox, and it's so funny because like he, of what I understand, it was the longest speech he's ever given in a movie ever. Like he's never had that many lines, like that with that the whole thing that he recited on top of the boombox. And so I recorded some of it, but then that they were very picky about, like, oh, don't record, this or that, right? So yeah, I didn't get to keep the footage. I didn't get kicked off the set, but I didn't get to keep the footage. But yeah, it was a cool experience. And then I did like some of the I got paid extra to like do the stand-in for him, because he was gone. You knew that. You actually saw him offset,
Yeah.
but he would dive. He would leave, And so in the
Sure.
pauses, because like we were like pretty much like an inch away in height, they would just have me stand in places when he wasn't there at all, to be like a
Oh, nice.
stand-in, so they could set up the lights and stuff, So like
Yeah.
I actually made more money from just standing for him when he wasn't there than I did when I was there, and they actually needed us for the all the the skating stuff, you know what I mean? It was so funny. Like, it was weird how life works, you know?
Yeah, no, and you're like, yeah, the perfect height for Ken because he is
Yeah,
pretty
so
tall.
they just had me like, yeah, I was like the doppelganger, like the,
Yeah, that's cool.
you
That's
know? Yeah, but because he would take off and stuff like that, and but yeah, you actually got to like you got the photo with him and everything at the where was it,
probably
like
in.
at, yeah, Brawlian, yeah, which is funny because
Yeah.
like he spent, yeah, he actually like could talk to you and chill like there versus on the set where they had him like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, we had a brief conversation when I met him, which was pretty cool. I was coming off night shift from Vaughn's at the time. He had passed right by me, so I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Porsche. So that was pretty cool. I got to see his Porsche.
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he would drive back and forth in that thing. Like, yeah, some days he wouldn't even stay. He would just go all the way, according to him, what he said, he would go to LA and then come back some days. So some days he wouldn't even stay in the valley. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I don't, I'm not sure his reasons, but he just, but I mean, he's probably I don't know. You and me are kind of like that. Like, we like the open road too. You know what I mean? Like, to clear our head and stuff sometimes.
I think that's where I get a lot of my best ideas. As I've gotten older, I feel like that's kind of replaced the feel I got from skateboarding in a way. I still try to skate as much as I can, but I think I even heard Jamie Thomas talk about that before, saying how motorcycles and skateboarding are pretty much the same vibe.
When those Nylon fires happened, did that affect you at all, or just the
Oh
things
yeah.
around you?
Like none of my property didn't catch on fire miraculously. Like I'm glad nothing caught on fire. But I was at work at the time. I did see the flames start up, and then even like neighbors' houses were starting to catch on fire. I had to leave work. I left work. My girlfriend was already moving everything out of the house and putting it in the car. And yeah, I mean it was a long night. You know, everything smelled like smoke. And we tried to help where we could with friends here and there. And you know, it was bad. It was bad, but gladly, yeah, I'm super lucky that nothing of mine caught on fire.
Yeah, the big issue during that time was that the wind that picked up kept throwing the fire into other houses and stuff, right? Is that what was going on?
Yeah. First, it
Correctly?
started on one side of town. The next thing you know, another person's house would catch on fire, then another, and another, and it was like a domino effect.
Yeah, that's gnarly. Like, just like imagine like being there and you just seeing like fire like whip across a whole street and hit another house, just like boom, boom, you know? Like,
Yeah, it was chaos. I was
that is.
driving in town and I had video of it still somewhere where just the flames were over an island, just really high. It was crazy.
Yeah, if you find that footage, you should make like a little mini doc, you know? Just like a little.
I do have a little clip of it. In one of the documentaries I did for the National Wildlife Refuge here in Nylon that
Okay.
was devastated by the fire in the beginning. And a lot of the clips that I filmed are on it, and it's pretty crazy. Like you can see them there.
Is that film that you're talking about? Is that the one that you won the award with, but you went under a different name?
No, that was a different one I did. That was a Salt and Sea poem that I went under. So I had entered a film festival of a local filmmaker who, I won't say a name, but he was saying a lot of things to people to try and discourage him to work with me. We had a little falling out on a previous project we worked on. So yeah, he was trying to do that, and I was like, oh, okay, well he's having a film festival and he doesn't want all these people to work with me. He's trying to hinder my work. So yeah, you know, I'll just enter under a different name and see if I can probably win. And next thing you know, I ended up taking first. And I
Man,
didn't
that's
realize. So,
gnarly.
yeah, so when they called the name up for the award, I was just there like, oh crap, I gotta go up. And yeah, he presented me my award. So I just felt like that was like a classy comeback.
What was your fake name?
It was Tamara Rodriguez.
Oh, what, Tamara, random.
Yeah, very random.
You're gonna have to use that like when like as you get more famous and you get your hotel rooms and stuff, you know how they always have come, you always have to have a fake name, like you
Yep.
don't want to book the name in
Don't be
your
under Tamara Rodriguez. That'd be kind of cool.
What was that thing that happened with you where like you recorded a guy, and this sounds weird to the listeners, but I'm sure you'll break it down here. You recorded some like man that was wearing a red dress in Slab City and he ended up being like a murderer. And like they like, what was that, dude? That was a crazy story.
Yeah, there's a news report about it up still. I still went like off the grid for a while because of this. So We were at Slab City, and we went to the local, like, it was a prom event, I think. No, it wasn't the prom event. It was a normal Slab City range night. And, we were watching the bands perform. And, yeah, this really huge guy, really dark, huge guy. And he had, like, a red dress on. Like, you'd think this big buff guy in a dress. And it's like, oh, shit. And he's, like, dancing in front of everybody. He's like, ah, I'm going to film this. So I filmed it, and I put the clip up on Facebook. And I guess 2 weeks later, unrelated to the video, no, he didn't get caught because of the video, but he did get caught. He had a warrant already, and he was wanted on the East Coast for murder. He murdered a 15-year-old. I think this is the guy that you were filming the other night, and they showed me the mugshot and the report that he was caught, and I was like, oh crap, that is him. So next thing you know, KSWT reached out to me, and they did an interview with me about it and everything. And one thing led to another, and I guess all the family on the East Coast thought I was the reason why he got caught.
Oh,
so
snap.
I had his family threatening me on social media and messaging me and stuff. And so the news report was out there, and the news report made it sound like I was the reason why he got caught. So I was like, oh, crap. So yeah, I went off social media for a while because of that. I didn't know how to handle it. I was like, okay, so doubt they're going to come over here and shoot me or anything. But... Damn. I don't want to take no chances.
Yeah. You needed the police department needed to like book you a temporary security guard for a while right there, and then they hook you up, bro.
That was years ago. They would have got me by now. But
that's crazy. That's crazy, dude. I can't think of anyone else I've ever met that has a story like that, dude. That's wild.
Yeah. He was like wanted federally, and we were just like right there in front of him the whole night. He was dancing the night away, just nonchalantly, just not a care in the world.
But isn't that crazy? Like how just anyone, you could just go and like, you just never know. They're all around. You know what I mean? Like you just don't know.
It's surreal.
Yeah. I'm sure like, well, dude, look, when we did the Bad Batch, there was this bus that would take us. And they had like, we had like, there was some people from like the slabs that they hired. So like that set was very real. This is funny. I had talked about this with briefly, but not in detail. But with when I had Charla on the show, we talked about the film, commission, how that the set was kind of rogue a bit,
Mm-hmm.
And but there was a dude who was booked, and on the bus, like we were transferring. First off, like it was a trip because like a lot of these people, like you could tell they hadn't taken showers like in forever. So the bus congested, it already kind of smelled really bad, or did smell really bad. But there's this dude who just happened to sit like on the seat next to me as they were going to transfer us on the bus to take us back to, I don't know, it was like the where you eat at and stuff like that, catering. And the dude, I don't know why, but he like was showing me like his gun. You know what I mean?
Oh shit.
He showed me like his gun, and I was like, bro, I was like, why are you showing me? I was just, I didn't like humor it more. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, there's no reason for that. You know what I mean? Like, why would you need that on the pretend set? You know what I mean? Like, none of us are supposed to have that. He just really wanted to show someone, like, look at my badass gun. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that sounds like slaps.
Loaded and stuff. He was like, not even all there. So I was like, dang, are we about to have like some kind of like, like if someone just like gets on his bad day or something, dude's just got a gun to whip out of like his, and it's just real. You know what I mean? It was like the most real fake. It's like, movie sets are supposed to be like fake, but it was like real people there. It was like at any moment, like things could pop off. There was some lady that was on the set that she was like tripping on. You probably saw her. She was like dancing. Yeah. She was painted silver.
Yes.
Oh, she didn't stop dancing, bro. Like it was like.
Even during breaks?
No breaks, bro. She was like, it was like 24 hours of her like nonstop dancing. I was like, dude, she's gonna have a heart attack or something, Like,
she was on that party. It seemed like a party when I was on that set.
Oh, dude, it was like a rave or something. It was like, I thought she was gonna die, dude. She wouldn't stop, like, you know what I mean? Like, she just wouldn't stop. It was like, somebody like, stop her. She's gonna like evaporate, Like, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy, dude. Like just left and right, And I think that happened the same day the dude like showed me the strap, the gun. And I was like, what the heck, man? Like, this is wild, Yeah. So wild. And then like I remember seeing people taking like stealing things, like at the catering area. I don't know, because they thought, it was freeze. Oh, I could take this. I could take. They weren't supposed to be taking some of those things, you know. And I was just like, "We're not gonna say anything, bro." You know, it was crazy. It was a crazy
Yeah,
set.
no, it was a crazy day. It was
Yeah,
really like.
that's why when you said like they kicked you off, I was like, "Dude, how did they even bother to like even attempt to do the job a little bit like that?" You know what I mean? When all the other stuff is going on, it's like, "Hey, don't kick this guy out. Go take the gun away from that person and go help the lady that's gonna." You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, hell yeah, dude. I think every set that's been down here has kind of been like that, like Wild West set. It's like when I was working on Future World, that was like definitely the same.
Oh
It
yeah, I forgot about
crazy.
that. I didn't get to see that set, but yeah.
It was crazy. It was similar, very similar to Bad Batch in a way.
See, Bad Batch did have the Netflix release, but Future World didn't really get a pickup, huh?
It did not, but it did come out on DVD. I spotted it in Walmart once right there.
Interesting, really.
Yeah, it did make it to the DVD.
The zombie stuff with Mila Jovovich, was that out in
It was actually, yeah, it had Mila Jovovich. It was more like a Mad Max. It was like they were fighting, like she had like her own army in the movie, like her own
okay.
followers. Yeah, but
Yeah.
yeah, like yeah, it was like Mad Max kind of, and there's like these tribes and stuff. And Suki Waterhouse coincidentally came out in this one also, just
Again,
like
yeah. What the heck? Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that is true. I forgot about that.
was on that one for about 2 months, the whole 2 months of filming they did down here.
Being in like the more like the El Centro area, I always remembered more growing up like the big sets that were like Jarhead or American Sniper, which is funny because they're both like war movies, right? Just the terrain that we have here has just always been interesting for the creativity and making things. And I always thought this, dude, like because we both grew up filming skating stuff, filming regular things like scenes like that, always kind of seemed like such a more walk in the park. Like it was not that difficult after like you have to like. After that, you have to go like, 20 miles per hour hauling next to someone on a board, trying to like swerve through curbs and stuff like that, and catch up with them when the fisheye is swerving around cars and 1,000 tries of them not making it. Like that, after you deal with that, and then like you've set the camera still, and you're like, all right, just these three lines, action. Like I just always felt like oh, this is a breeze. You know what I mean? Compared to that, as long as the actor is good, like our actress is good, then we'll be solid, you know?
Yeah, it's like a lot more predictable than when you're filming skateboarding. So that's what I like about it. Like you may have, have to deal with the actor and his lines and stuff, but other than that, I do like it is a big contrast. It's way different.
Ordinary questions with extraordinary individuals. What is your favorite color?
Favorite color is gonna be red.
What is your favorite artist or band of all time?
I'm really into Insane Clown Posse.
What do they call them? The Juggalos, right?
Yeah,
The
juggle.
hardcore band base, yeah.
Low key chuggalo.
What is your favorite movie of all time?
It's gonna have to be Lost Boys.
The bridge from that movie still exists. It's out there towards somewhere in the direction of like Six Flags Magic Mountain, the bridge that they're hanging from.
Yeah.
One of the famous scenes still exists to this day, and a lot of people visit it.
I'm gonna have to visit.
Yeah, it's there. What is your favorite dessert of all time?
PB&J.
What is one place you have not visited yet that you still want to visit?
Japan.
Me too, dude.
Yeah.
What is your favorite franchise or nostalgic property of all time?
Skateboarding.
There you go.
I've been running into a lot of pros and stuff now that I'm older, and I still recognize them, and I get all.
Yeah, cool, man. If you could give one last bit of advice to anyone out there trying to pursue their passions, what would it be?
Have consistency. Like, don't stop and keep trying even when you fail. That's the biggest key.
Awesome. Any last words?
Well, not really anything to plug other than that new project I got going on with the FSBN. But I guess keep an eye on my social media, and the one I use the most and I post a lot of my updates is my Instagram, which is Film for Brains. And I was gonna plug your brand Terrestro, but I don't know if it's they already got the beanie on it. I did plug it on a podcast I was just on last week, so
Oh, nice. Thanks, man.
I had the shoes on and like all the mom and stuff. But yeah, that's
Well,
it, man.
thank you for that too, man. I appreciate the I I recognize the support, man. I appreciate you, man. Always gotta remember that because you're one of the early ones, you know, as this continues to grow, you know. So
Yeah.
much respect to you, dude. And yeah, man, I just always rooting for you, all the work that you do, because like I've seen you since you're creating projects since the very, very beginning, you know. So it's super cool to just like to see you, just like to be friends all these years, but also just to see you like grow through the years and like. I mean, dude, I mean, you're a dad now, you know what I mean? Your kids start in school. Like, how cool is that, man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, take it back to like when you're just starting to, when you were a kid yourself, just skating, you know what I mean? And how time just overlaps us like that, you know? Sometimes I have to like, just like pinch myself and think like, wow, I can't believe all this time has passed. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it's like we lived other lifetimes and like, we're like in this. I don't know, it's trippy, man, you know? But like the consistent thing that's cool is like I'm still here talking to you and you're still here talking to me. You know what I mean? So that shows like the strength of like how like legit we were homies, you know what I mean?
Crap, like we've been homies since like, man, I was still in high school. I was like a junior in high school still, or not even. I think it was a sophomore. That was my first episode of Enskate.
Yeah,
I
first
think.
episode of Enskate. Yeah. With that's why I was. That's why I was thinking. Like, I think it was like a flip, like one of those flip cameras with the USB. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, a black one. It was like a black camera. It was like a brick, and it just had like an
yeah,
embedded off the.
yeah. Flip. It was like a flip mode or something, or flip. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was like a, it was like a trend of a style of camera that was out at the time that I mean, I think it was before GoPros actually, maybe.
Oh yeah,
But
way before those.
yeah, dude. Back many, many years, man. But thank you for being on the show, dude. I appreciate you.
Thank you,
And
man.
you
I
do
mean.
all that you do, and I know your bestest of your bestest of your bestest work is still on the way because you have a long career. And the coolest part about making films and being a director is that like, I mean, look at like Clint Eastwood or someone like that. Dude's like 90, you know what I mean? So like that's the coolest part is like this is like a gig that like you can do for like longevity of life, you know what I mean? And I think that's exciting about it, you know what I mean? That's like the coolest part. You can just keep making and making and making. So
Same thing, we're gonna be getting older and we're still gonna be involved in each other's projects.
yeah, we're still gonna make cool stuff, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what's up. So yeah, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Passions Personified. So this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I will be at Long Beach Comic Con. I finally have a booth number. I'm going to be located in booth number A24. I'm going to be a pretty, I think like I'm a booth away from Sam Jones, who was Flash Gordon. The original Flash Gordon movie. So that's who I'm set up next to pretty much. I'm like one booth away from him. I think he's either next to me or one off. So if you could find him, you could find me. The hours actually, 10 a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Saturday, and 11 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. So that is going to be at the Long Beach Convention Center. And yeah, if you're in the area, come on by. It's actually a really great show. I've actually attended as an attendee, just because I wanted to check it out 1 year, and it was awesome. And now to be there as a invited guest is a dream come true. It's super cool. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I got some cool stuff to reveal there. So if you're gonna be at their show, you're gonna be able to see something that I was not able to announce yet, but you could see it in person there. Could be the first to see it. Something I've been working on. I'm always working on something in the background. So, appreciate all of you listening. You know it. You're the best. And till next episode, I got some great episodes on the way lined up. Peace, love, positivity. Take care. And may you have a great rest of your week and upcoming weekend.